This is a dope episode, kind of throwback conversation that kind of jumped off at, you know, guest on the show, Brandon Williams, B-Dub, as we call him, our local lawyer that's always on the show. We were at his house. This conversation happened when the first thing came off for the players in the NFL saying that they couldn't stand up, they had to stand up for the anthem and whatnot. So this is a very candid conversation that happened then, but it's we held off on it to jump it off now, coming up for the new season coming up soon. Though. So this is apropos that this is jumping off now. We had some great panel of people there, just great folks having discussion about this from different perspectives, different lifestyles, different living, different thoughts. So enjoy this, and Scenario be back as always.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what? So what? So what's the scenario? Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what? So what? So what's the scenario?
Hey, yo, Bo knows this,
what?
And Bo knows that,
what?
But Bo don't know jack, cause Bo can't rap. Well, what do you know? The Diddog is first up to bat. No batteries included.
Wait up.
So I find that there is here is the difference between last year and this year. I'm a capitalist. I believe the United States is fundamentally a capitalist society, and I do not have a problem with individual NFL owners making a decision for their team that they own and what they do with their employees. I don't have a problem with that. And which is why I did not advocate a boycott last year. I don't have a problem with it. My problem is when the NFL as an organization cites an edict for all of their teams and businesses independently to follow. That's where I have an issue with it, because now you are no longer supporting the ventures of capitalism, but you're more having a, to some extent, a culture warfare against people who want to protest something that is prominent and affects their
the majority of your employees.
Right. And so if someone says to me last year, hey, I'm going to boycott the NFL, I say, you know, that's a team-by-team basis. If you want to boycott a team, that's fine, which we'll get to in a minute because that's probably the best way to go about it.
Sure.
But if you want to boycott a team, that's fine. But you can't boycott team by team because Kaepernick's protesting. For instance, I'm a 49ers fan. Kaepernick did not re-up with the 49ers.
Right.
He didn't get fired. This motherfucker said, you know what? I'm about to test my waters in the market because I feel like this protest is not going to fuck with me that much. I'm that good. I played in the Super Bowl. So I'm going to still be hireable. And teams made that decision to not hire him. But, like, the 49ers didn't need him. Let's take, like, the Kansas
collusion.
City Chiefs.
You're going to collusion?
Yeah, the collusion part of it. The Kansas City Chiefs didn't need him. Like, there are teams that did not need Kaepernick. So for me to say I'm going to boycott the whole NFL because every single team, I'm going to boycott every single team because Kaepernick's not hired, that's bullshit to me. But then in turn, when the NFL says, well, now motherfuckers can't protest, now I have an issue with it.
But hold on. But I don't believe that teams didn't need him. I mean, the issue was that we are in a quarterback, like, drought. I mean, there are a lot of teams in the NFL that have struggling quarterbacks. And last year, there are at least six that could have done better with him than with the picks that, than with the players they had in place. So I'm not sure, and I also don't think that Kaepernick thought, I think that he stood on the grounds that he had and he said, I'm not gonna forgive or not do what I have said I'm gonna do, which is kneel or protest in whatever way I'm gonna protest. And if there's a team which also showed up, who was he? Seattle? Like, Seattle said they'd give him, Baltimore said they'd give him a seat. And he couldn't guarantee them that he wasn't going to kneel. And they said, okay, we'll pass on you. Well, and their backups were not great.
Yeah, I mean, here's the reason why I didn't boycott last year. Obviously, I have an affinity for Colin. There's no question about it. And I do think the NFL colluded to keep him out. Whether for sure. I think there's no question in my mind.
For sure.
Because he you can't tell me he can at least be a backup in this fucking league. Like, fucking
Alex
Jay Cutler.
Oh my goodness.
Was quarterback.
Matt Castle.
I mean,
but I think he knew what he was doing.
But here's the reason I didn't boycott.
For sure he knew
like, you just, I think a lot of motherfuckers jumped on the bandwagon. You just can't tell me to boycott without a concrete plan. Like, give me a fucking plan. Like, are you going to boycott NFL? Are you going to boycott the sponsors? What the fuck? What are we really doing?
Yeah.
That's, give me a plan. Just don't tell me I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah.
I was involved in the NFL for too long. I know how much money they make. They're not going to miss. The TV contracts was already done. So they're not really going to miss your fucking, whether you turn on the fucking TV or not. This feels much more different.
Yeah.
Because they're kowtowing to Trump. All these fucking white-ass billionaires, I expect them to understand what the players are going through because most of these motherfuckers got teams as a hobby. They ain't making their money from these fucking teams.
100%.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The teams are fucking, that's a hobby.
They like the
money that comes along with it, don't get me wrong. This feels
the
different.
Prestige.
Because I feel like they bitched out. I feel like they bitched out to Trump, and they're ignoring a whole entire, like they're saying, well, we lost viewership because, you know, white people were saying, you know, I'm not going to watch unless these niggas stand up for the anthem. But they forgot about the whole black population, how much money we spend on the NFL, and how much what we do for the NFL. You know what I'm saying? And the fucking NFL wasn't even tripping off the anthem until about 12 years ago when the Army and Navy came. When the Army and Navy came and said, we're going to give y'all a contract to play the national anthem before the game and fly, you know, stretch the flag out over on the fucking field. They kowtowing to Trump. They scared as fuck from this nigga, you know. And that's basically it to me. And so it feels much, much different. And on the capitalist shit, I completely agree. Like, at the end of the day, you work for those teams. But those teams should have a choice as to how they're going to implement this fucking rule. And you can't be a capitalist and a constitutionalist, which most of them will swear they fucking constitutionalists, and support this fucking edict that just went down. Like, you can't do that.
So well, didn't the Jets owner just say he was going to pay all the fines?
Yep. Yes, he did.
And the 49ers said,
So let me ask you all this. Are you going to boycott this year?
I mean, I'm not going to boycott, but...
It's my livelihood. I can't. You got to have people there. But here's the thing about boycotting, though. The fact that we judge people based on how it is that they participate in this recreational activity is off base. You know, you got to have people that are close to this in order to speak to the event as well. If everybody in the black community just decides to turn their back to this event, then you start to let the story get told about your experience for you. And that's an incredible misstep in strategy about doing it. Like, I don't think that everything can be fixed by simply saying we're not going to participate in it. And to go back to the point that we were making about how what goes into the NFL and what matters, first of all, the dollars have been spent on the viewership already. That's done. That's money that's in their pocket already. Here's the thing. You can't tell me you're not going to support the league without having a clue about what holds the league up itself. You can't be out here at all the companies that spend money on them and then tell me that you're not supporting the NFL. You are.
Yeah.
So here's my thing. We've gotten really good at knee-jerk activism in the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. Like, we've gotten incredibly good at knee-jerk activism. And then we've, as always, there's a couple things, a negative thing I can always rely on contemporary black society to do is that we'll turn each other against each other if we're not standing on the same ground that we believe is the ground we're supposed to stand on. So here's the problem with that boycott. You say, all right, let's look at it this way. Let's look at it. Just say we all snap our fingers and black people just aren't participating in the NFL anymore at all. So everything that you read and every story that gets told about the NFL is going to be told from a perspective that's not yours. So you're not aware of what's going on. You're just being reactionary. And that's the absolute worst way in life to make a decision is to make a reactive decision as opposed to one that you're actually standing on informed grounds on. And that's what I'm worried about here. And it goes to what you're saying, Mike, about how people are just doing things because they're doing it. Right now, this is basically somebody throwing a bottle down in the crowd and everybody deciding to get angry at one time.
Right.
Now, if you're going to boycott it thoroughly, hey, I'm behind you. But I don't want to see you in FedEx. I don't want to see you eating no Papa John's.
Right.
I don't want to see you drinking no fucking Gatorade. I don't want to see you supporting any of the 20-plus sponsors that uphold the league. Because if you really want to cut its Achilles out from underneath it, stop spending money with the people that support them.
Well, I think that's why you have a contingent of the black athletes from the 70s, 60s, 70s, and early 80s who have said they haven't been super supportive of Kaepernick. Like, they are frustrated by the fact that, like, you are kneeling, but you're not calling out the capitalistic systemic society that is perpetuating the entire situation. That's the issue. Like, so what you're saying...
But isn't it Kep's job to do that, though? He already did that, though. That's the thing of this, our
Kep
society.
Kep is just the stem of the explosive, if you will.
Yeah, yes. He is... societal, socially, like Teflon Don at this point, because anything you have said about him, like what he ain't did, he did it. He did everything. Like, you, he donated money. He did. He's giving you time. Everything you want to say that he has not done,
he has done.
He's done it. So we can't put that on Cap, though, to be the fucking person to come up with a plan, though, to be able to say that.
No, he's walked it like he's talked it.
Yeah. But he might be, of all the people that have kneeled, he may be the one that has really walked it like he's talked it. Yeah. I mean, he has camps running across the country for students to learn how to be activists, who are in camps 15 weeks of the year learning how to disrupt the system.
He got this suit.
But he's not promoting it.
They're coming out of jail, that they get the free suits. Like, I mean...
But what I'm saying is you have... I mean, it's not homogenous. You have black players from the 70s and the 80s who aren't on his bandwagon, who are saying you need to either figure out how to disrupt the system within the rules of the game or not be in the game.
But from a fundamental standpoint, let's just go to the heart of the argument. The heart of the argument is players, individual players, have freedom of speech. Okay. So that's actually not true, right?
No, it's private. So you don't have freedom of speech in private.
But that's a nuance that you understand as an educated black woman. But generally...
Can you do that again?
You are an educated black woman. But generally...
Just to everybody out there.
Yes,
go ahead and do that again.
Nikki's an educated black woman. But generally, people just say, well, players have a freedom of speech. And I'm like, motherfucker, when you go to work, my nigga, you don't have a freedom of speech. Like, you're not going
I mean,
to
we're
work.
All sitting around this table, unless these two, besides these two, like, well, you all are independent. So maybe I'm the only one, like, does have freedom of speech.
You don't have a right to say what you want to say at work.
No, you don't.
So that was my problem with everyone getting mad last year. I'm like, motherfucker, you work at Target. Your ass is not, like... like protesting anything at Target, like you work at Target and if
Tiger,
you protest,
Target will let you go.
You're right, you'll get fired. And so the issue is, okay, so one, you don't have a freedom of speech. Let's start there.
You don't have freedom of speech in this realm,
right? So two, let's separate NFL owners as businessmen from like Donald Trump going on Fox, because Donald Trump going on Fox is Donald Trump being an idiot on Fox. NFL businessmen, while they may all be racist, I don't know what's in their heart, but I do know they like to make money and they like to build their franchise in the way they want to build it. And let's be clear, the NFL fan base does not support Kaepernick's kneeling. Like, let's be 100%
clear.
Okay,
fair.
Like 100% clear. So if you are a businessman and you see that your fan base does not support what one of your employees is doing, then you need to rail against that employee. We can all understand that. Now, if you want to say there's a cultural nuance there that you should not be tone deaf to your employees, being that they're predominantly black, and or just the fact that there's a lot of the L society and you're in a position of power to fix it or to at least support fixing it, that's one argument. But to say that like businessmen don't have the right to make money, that's a ridiculous thing.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. So then the question is, if you're going to boycott the NFL, what do you do? Right. So, and I'm posing this because we have six people sitting at this table. So I'm posing this like this. All right. The NFL, if all the people of color, because it's not just black people, it's Latinos. It's Latinos too.
Samoa.
And, well, I don't know what else Samoa and, you know, whatever is going on with them. But if people of color... if they all boycott the NFL, does that affect the bottom line to NFL owners? And my answer to that, and you all can rebut it because I'm curious, but my answer to that would be no, because if all people of color boycott the NFL, then white nationalists and people that support like that America First shit will go above and beyond to support it just to make up for the gap.
Yeah, true.
So that's not the issue. The issue is this. One.
But no, I'll push that.
No, please. I'm asking.
No. The reason I say this is because the quality product be fucked up if the niggas that are fucking playing that ball decide to say fuck that shit too.
two different discussions.
No,
that's two different. You're right. We're gonna
because the quality product is a fucking whole bunch of white dudes out there punting.
It depends. I think it depends on what market you're in. I mean, because DC, Atlanta, fucking.
But are those franchises? Franchises
Chicago. That? I mean, Detroit.
They're main franchises. Black owned cities.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is, Atlanta, Detroit, DC, Chicago. Are all places that have, they're still predominantly white. And they are still predominantly white in a way that if you want to support that franchise, and if you are that much of a fuckboy to make up for the fact that black people are boycotting you, they still will show up and support in droves. There's motherfuckers that don't care about football that will show up if they know that's black right. people aren't
but
supporting.
But them niggas that's sitting out there in the fucking playing that goddamn ball to figure that shit out.
I agree, but listen.
Yeah,
what
but we're
saying.
Already
so
talking
this,
about
it.
We're talking about. I mean, sports inherently are part of a capitalistic sort of system, right? So what you're saying is either you have an entire like group of white folks who are like coming to the stadiums because we have shunned the folks quieted the black people, right? Like, you can't kneel anymore. You can't protest anymore about the injustice that's happening. So what do you do now with the fact that the NFL has said they're going to put together $100 million into a trust to figure out how they can, in the cities that they have football teams, build equity and create a system where we aren't having the reason to kneel anymore? What do you do with that? $100 million is not shit.
Agreed. So here's
my
thing.
Shit for a billion-dollar industry that up until a year ago wasn't paying taxes, but it's $100 million, so.
So here's my thing. Whenever you boycott something widespread, first of all, you have to be organized, and black people generally are not organized.
Okay, that's what, first of all.
Secondly, the whole
So they're
thing,
not organized?
They're,
no.
We're,
so,
no, not they. That. It's we, because you're black. So it's us. We're,
you said they're not. No, you said they're not organized.
I'm sorry.
So
hey,
do
audience,
not come at me,
because
I'm Negro as fuck.
You're right.
So, you said they're not organized.
Yeah, they're not. We
I'm
you know what? That would be.
I've been asking for a t-shirt
hey,
all
what?
Night.
Hey,
everybody, this girl has been asking for a t-shirt all night. Nobody's giving me a fucking t-shirt. Had a Daredevil t-shirt, asked for, didn't get it.
That would be a good t-shirt.
You're here for my actual shirt?
Yeah, you're like,
take that
shit off right now and give it to you. Let's try it.
I actually fucked the problem.
But like, here's the thing. So you have black people are not organized. So when you say you're going to boycott the NFL widespread, I feel like that's an issue. Any boycott that has been successful in the United States of America, the two that come to mind first, obviously civil rights, the Montgomery bus boycott, and second is the UAW, the United Auto Workers Union boycott in 1970.
Oh, for sure.
And the thing that they had that was so different than what black people ask for now to boycott the NFL is very pointed, specific boycott. The
it's
Montgomery
micro more macro.
And no, it's micro.
Macro.
So the United,
which one?
It's
micro. More macro than macro.
Yeah. So the United Auto Workers, they said, you know what? We're a union. We can't fuck the whole auto industry, but we're going to fuck General Motors.
Yeah.
And so 1970, they fucked General Motors so much that General Motors had to go to Chrysler and Ford like, hey, motherfucker, this shit is not cool. This coming to you next. Let's fix it. And for the Montgomery bus boycott, do you think whoever the CEO was of Montgomery, the bus boycott, like they gave a fuck about black people? No, but what happened was we were so pointed and specific about how we attacked the Montgomery bus line that it worked because it hurt them economically. So for me, to your point, Mike, for me, it is, can you organize enough to boycott in a predominantly, not a predominantly, but in a large black city, Atlanta Falcons, or can you find a way to boycott America's team? I'm sorry to offend you, Dallas. But black people who aren't from Dallas are big fans of the Cowboys. And so is there a way to hurt that marketplace and then them go to their fraternity of owners and say, this is what happens when we fuck around with this issue? And I'm not saying it was to be successful, but I'm saying that it would definitely work more than a widespread boycott of the NFL, because that shit's not real.
But the problem I have is that we're having a conversation about the fact that we have 32 teams owned by white men who are...
Well, 31.
31 teams.
Jacksonville's owned by a Pakistani, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry.
Khan, that's, I think. Right. And he might not be Pakistani, so but I think he is.
In a corporation that has predominantly black people...
As employees.
Mm. So I don't know how we can have that conversation.
Well, the employees have to raise up.
Yeah, but they tried that last.
Well, but then you're.
They know they did. They really haven't tried. Though.
They haven't, and you're asking people.
They need to know.
So let's change the language. Let's change the context of the language you're using, because while you believe they haven't, that wasn't what was rising up. I do believe that for the individuals who were in that space, who risk what they were doing, they believe they were rising up. They were making a statement.
They
were doing.
They haven't risen up enough for they even own money.
No, rise up is don't play.
Yeah, but I'm saying they haven't even strike correctly.
No,
for their
I think
money,
actually,
let
slow down
before we
Hold
even
on.
Move socially.
Hold on, that's pivotal.
But if you don't,
I'm just saying. I think we missed it. So I'm just saying. I think that that's pivotal. You can kneel. You are able to be in the lineup.
But a rise up
is don't play.
But if you don't play, then it's on the onus is on us as citizens. Here's the deal.
Yeah, but you're going to ask citizens? Like,
yes.
So, the whole part of, like, what is capitalism in the United States is that you keep
but
people
he's going back
comfortable
in
enough.
But he's going back to throw the thing and hold up those people that this.
But I agree with you. Like, none of those people, like, they went out and lined up.
In every example I gave, it's the people that are affected. It's the United Auto Workers. It was the auto workers who stopped participating in the industry.
Yes.
So what I'm saying is this: NFL is a very specific brand that has employees that don't have guaranteed contracts, right?
Right.
So you have people that are making $20 million a year.
You
people
need
making
a different
$200,000.
You need a different union rep.
So no, it's not
like
that.
The
it's
NBA.
A big discrepancy between
look at the NBA. Look at their union rep, and look what the NBA players have. And the
union
they have.
Is dope. NBA union is dope.
What's that?
Union is good.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I'm saying.
Yeah, but wait,
I am agreeing with you.
Dean Morris Smith is a horrible fucking NFLPA fucking.
No, so we are agreeing on every point from here. I'm saying if you look at what the NBA was able to negotiate and where the NFL is,
predominantly
white owned.
Let me break that down. Dean Morris is not horrible. He's not the best, but he's not horrible. Here's the thing. The owners know from experience that NFL players, for the most part, number one, they don't have guaranteed contracts. Number two, them niggas do not save their money. So when they threaten to go out on strike, they'll go out on strike for 3-4 weeks and they'll come back to the table and they'll be ready to work because these niggas got house notes and car notes and baby models.
But see, but that's
and
my
wives,
thing. Me and him had
argued.
Me and
him
had argued.
Hold on. Wait, for the sake of the integrity of the recording, people take their
money. I'm gonna finish. They know that they can starve them out. You're talking about billionaires. We're gonna starve them out. They have to come back to the table, and they have to, for the most part, agree to what we tell them that they're gonna agree to. That's why they gave Roger Goodell all that fucking power to just fire motherfuckers, suspend motherfuckers just on a fucking humbug. That's why it's the weakest fucking union because they don't have guaranteed contracts and they don't save their money. You know, they should be gearing up right now. DeMar should be on the phone right now like, look, when a collective bargaining agreement comes up for negotiation, you niggas need to start saving your money now and be ready to fucking strike for a year. If it ain't gonna last a year, it ain't gonna be no fucking
money. My thing was, me and him had an argument though, and we talked about this.
You were mad.
Give me a mad.
Because it's not visuals. They can't see you arguing.
Me and Matt, I said, hey, Why didn't the NFLPA say, like, hey, 3 to 4 or 5% of your dough going to this pot, though, to make sure everybody good, though, if we do have to strike?
Yeah.
Agreed.
Like, why don't we just have this a part of your salary that just goes to this pot that you don't even see, that automatically come out of your bank account, you don't even see, that goes to make sure that we good unless we have to strike, not in this, for anything, for labor, anything.
Agreed.
And Matt was saying, like, yo, I don't want nobody fucking with my money and touching my money.
And it's a lot of niggas that's gonna tell you that.
But that's some. But that's. But
I'm with you. But here's the thing. Here's the thing that I'm. Here's the point that I made about with the NFL. With this, there's three things. One of them is two of them for the players, and one of them for people like us. I'm gonna go to people like us first and foremost. Is that number one? It's real easy for us to sit here and tell these millionaires what to do with their money, because we look at that as being a substantial pot of money that you shouldn't be able to fuck off. But just like us, just like any of us, their expenses equate to what it is that they bring in. So the thing I never do is tell them what to do with their money, because their problems are like mine. It's just on a much higher scale of what they've taken on. Number two, the other thing about it is that we talk about what the black population in the NFL should do, but there's a wide-scale population that's not going to agree with them. Because we're talking about the NFLPA like there's some harmony on this topic. There's plenty of people in the NFL that don't agree
but
with
NFLPA should be doing that in general for their wages, everything, period, though.
Listen, but here's the thing. If you come and pitch that in an NFLPA meeting in these times right now, that's an idealistic way to look at it. Because there's going to be
they should have been did that.
There's
going to
be people. But shoulda, coulda, woulda ain't what's happening in real life. So right now, you go and bring that topic into an NFLPA meeting right now, you're going to have just as many people that are like, listen, this isn't my problem. This isn't something that I'm dealing with. I'm not about to put my money up for a contingency to rock the boat when we don't have to rock the boat because I don't believe in it. So you have people that are thinking like that. It's not like there's a harmony of the player base against the owners. That's not the case. That's not what's happening at all here. So the thing about it is, I think that the NFL, based on the terms and conditions of how the contracts are structured and based on the sheer volume of people that are in this league, you cannot compare it to the NBA. The size of that union is massively larger than any other union in pro sports. It's bigger than baseball, it's bigger than basketball, it's bigger than hockey. You're dealing with a much larger sum of money that people feel like they haven't invested some in. And to Mike's point, these people are not putting their money away because that money isn't there for them to put away. You go to baseball and try this shit, they're going to say, I have 7 years guaranteed. You're paying me either way. So we need to come to the middle on this one way or another. These guys have 7-year contracts and only 2 years matter in. Now, that's just the industry that they live in. So you can't go to the forefront and tell them to operate underneath this idealistic standard, because that's not the life that they're living. Imagine if we went to work ourselves right now, every day, and take the pie that we look at and say that only 2 months of the years of the money that we get to make is guaranteed. No matter what you put away, that 10 month is going to eat away at the savings that you got, even if you have it. So imagine if you don't have it. It's like working on commission full time your entire life. And they're not putting it away. So, yeah, you can teach all the financial literacy you want to, but that's not going to stop their mamas and their baby mamas and all of them from taking that money from them and them being right back in a situation where they have to come back to the middle. So we can't be so fucking idealistic in this thing about saying what should happen and what the outcome is, because that's not the reality of what we're facing.
So my question is not a rebuttal to that, because that was 100% accurate. My question is this a thing that plagues people of color so much? Ooh, that's going to be loud. You know, go ahead and open it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's open. Is that something that plagues people of color so much that there is a way to have, I don't know the equivalent, so I'm going to throw this out there, just know that I'm not using this, but like a GoFundMe from society contributing.
No one values black people that way.
No, but I'm asking from black people. Black people contribute to something so much that it would give people a minimum $200,000 across the United States? You don't think it's possible? Because if we're not organized like that, then we're not organized. And if we're not organized, then
we already said that earlier. Yeah.
But Brandon, we've never been organized like that ever.
Well, no, civil rights boycott was organized.
Yeah, but I just said that you have football players from the 70s
and 80s. And that was just a bus.
Who don't agree with Colin.
Yes. Professional recorder, we can't talk over each other.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
My question is this. If the players said, okay, we're going to sit out for a year, and that's a lot on it. I'm not suggesting that's going to happen. But if the players said we're going to sit out for a year, could the top players that agree to sit out and society not augment the income of the individuals who are like the kick returners and the bullshit like gunners on kickoffs, could not augment their salary enough to justify the NFL sitting out. Because here's the deal: if the employees sit out, the NFL doesn't have a product. I mean, I'm paying to see good players. I'm not paying to see motherfuckers that was like third string on Hawaii's like college team. I don't give a fuck.
And to the point of what you're saying right there is that I was listening to a discussion about how the NBA's offseason revenue flows based on LeBron James. There's no player in sports right now that has more of his thumb on the business pulse of the league than LeBron James. And here's where his power really stretches in is that the players listen to him. So when he says something, the league listens and the player listens because they understand that the revenue stream runs through a lot of what his perspective is on it. Here's the issue. Tom Brady's not going to be the one that stands up and does this. Aaron Rodgers is not going to stand up and do this. You're not going to have any of the people that really matter in the NFL stand up and shake up the money there.
I disagree with that.
And the reason why is because the way that the NFL tailors the exposure to the NFL, and Daryl, we talked about this yesterday when the person sent us the email about why isn't there more individual exposure for athletes in the NFL, because the NFL puts the shield above everything else. So there's nobody, who is the black player in the NFL that can make the axis? And I'm going to point this at you, Mike. Who is the black player in the NFL who has the bargaining power to change the axis of how that world rotates?
They are replaceable, and that's
everybody can go in the NFL.
That's the thing about the NFL is every year they got a new crop that comes in.
New dope receiver.
That's the nature of the NFL. And it's just a different, like to your point, man, it's a different, like NBA stars, they last for 12, 13 years. NFL, you got a 5-year shelf life.
But that's a newer thing, though, too.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. I'm saying, for stars. I ain't talking about for the random dude that just came into the league,
no,
though.
No, for stars. Okay. For stars, it's the same exact
Randall thing. Randall Cunningham was elite 12, 13 Randall years. Cunningham and, like, is he a Hall of Famer?
Randall Cunningham could, no. And Randall Cunningham.
Exactly.
And Randall Cunningham leaving the league. Years. Randall Cunningham leaving the league couldn't have changed anything less about the league.
But no. That's my point. Now, my point is that the fact is that there's a certain amount of people that are there constantly. That are there.
But them being there in attendance, that's an attendance.
But he wasn't in attendance, though. He was starting on some of
But him starting and him not starting wouldn't have changed shit about the NFL in the era he played in.
It would have changed Philly. But it would have changed. But I'm talking about in mass, all the star people of color and people that sympathize or empathize with that role say, you know what, like for instance, Chris Long, or people that say, you know what, I don't agree with what's happening in society, but I also don't want to not have a paycheck. Yeah. So is there a way to merge those two ideals? And I don't know the answer. I don't know if that can happen. But I don't think it's all Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. The NFL does have you have Mendenhall. I mean, you have not Mendenhall. What's your boy from Pittsburgh? Well, I went back. What's your boy from Pittsburgh? The running back.
Rashad Mendenhall?
Rashad Mendenhall. You have black stars in the NFL. The issue is that you don't have them all joining up and saying, you know what? What ails society also ails me.
Well, and here's the thing about why
a small group and I beg.
And here's about what's happened right now is that thing like we were talking about why I didn't jump up and write an article about this tomorrow is because the book's not done being written yet. Like, here's the thing that you get
but
to
you
see
write the book
from this decision right now is the thing that's happened is that, okay, now you have legitimately polarized people against the middle. Now you're basically saying if you aren't on the field, like they've drawn a line in the sand. This is a tactical disaster that they made making this decision, because now you're going to have people literally say, before people had a neutral ground, you can stand on the field, whether you take a knee or whether you don't, whatever. Now you're going to have people literally, you have the potential, I should say, of an en masse crowd of black people walking onto the field together if you want to do that. That's the next play. If you talk about demonstrative things that are going to showcase there being an issue, tell all the black guys stay in the locker room together and then see them walk out together. The debate about this, the argument about this right now is premature. It's premature. This is something that this season is going to tell the story of, because if you pay attention to this, it's really easy. This is one of the things about why you can boycott the NFL if you want to, but why I'm not.
because I need to watch how this unfolds. This thing took four different turns in one season last year. It wasn't just one thing and it wasn't the other. But you know what? If you want to make a difference, and this is something my father said to me, if you want to make a difference, you got to show up to make it. Now whether you stay out of, you can stay out of the action and be out of sight, out of mind, good for you. But you got, if you really want to make a difference, you got to show up to make it. And them players need to show up and make it. If them black people want to show, if you want to show up and really fucking piss them off, go to a game right now. Go to a baseball game right now and sit the fuck down when the anthem comes on and see how the people in the stands react to your ass. And when they take that camera throughout there and there ain't no black people on the field and you got black people in the stands that's sitting the fuck down, that's a whole different thing. Because your dollar, whether you pay the NFL to go to the game or not, they're good.
They're good.
Go and make a fucking difference on the front lines. But sitting out and saying, I'm turning my back because everybody on Facebook's turning their back and you wasn't spending a dollar on the NFL in the first place, fuck you. You being a follower. And that's the only, and that's the problem. We got so many, we got so much social media and follower and passive activism now. You just doing whatever somebody else told you to do so that you feel like you're making a difference as opposed to actually making it. Until that point, none of that fucking opinion matters.
And to be honest with you, the NFL fucked themselves. Because that was a knee-jerk reaction.
It was.
Oh, for sure. Because
the majority of players, the majority white, black, or whatever, they had let that shit go. For the most part, they had let that shit go.
It phased out.
And it phased out, and now they brought it back to the forefront.
Like, you don't test
big time.
Like, you knew what was going to happen. They've been
like, you really figuring out. And that's why I say it's a knee-jerk reaction based upon who's in office.
But it's not knee-jerk. Knee-jerk is something that's quick. They have had an entire season.
Well, it's reactionary.
But look at the day they did it. They did it. For sure. They did it when your boy Sterling Brown's videotape comes out. It was the same day, right?
From the Bucks.
It was the same day. And for me, there's a vilification of NFL owners that my thing is, man, listen, you know, I always make a joke about being an elitist, but the thing is, if you're an NFL owner, you've either been rich your whole life, or you've been white your whole life, and you've come into money at a time where you're not getting pulled over, you're not getting abused and oppressed by the police, right? So I take it an analogy.
And they're mostly 60 plus.
Right. So the analogy is this. So I don't want to get into Israel, but what's going on with Israel and Palestine? I don't want to. This isn't the podcast for that. But like, what's your boy? Benjamin in Yahoo. Yeah, he in Israel's oppressive behavior towards Palestine is laughable, right? But like, black people run over to Israel and try to support them. Like, black people have this kick in the last 5 years of like running over to Israel and showing love for Israel and going back to the motherland of Christianity, whatever. You're in basically occupied territory. And you're fucking, but you know why it doesn't affect, you know why I don't, like, I'm not rah-rah Palestine? Because it doesn't fucking affect me. Like, it's not my day-to-day. So you're asking NFL owners that are never, ever faced with...
Run it back for like, people that listen to us. So you flip from Palestine to Israel.
No, like, I'm never, ever in support of Israel. Israel is an oppressive-ass fucking nation. Right. Fucking occupying land that they do not deserve to have. And are fucking over the people that deserve to have it. And are trying to minimalize those people to put them in fucking territories and areas that were not the territories and areas in separate.
But then explain how Israel got to where Israel was.
That's a whole other story.
No, but I'm just saying.
I don't want to go into an Israel kick. My point is, my issue with what's going on over there and Gaza Strip and whatnot is that it doesn't affect how I raise my daughter, how I interact with my friends, how I have a drink today. I don't see it on a day-to-day, so it doesn't affect my day-to-day, so it's not important to me. It's important to me to have this conversation with six motherfuckers at a table, but it's not important to me. Five. I'm six.
You can talk to yourself.
Yeah, it's true. But, juxtapose that with an NFL owner. An NFL owner, if you've never been pulled over, if you've never been terrorized by police officers, that shit's not relevant to you.
It's
that shit is not your day.
To anybody
but
else,
that's but you no, but you, have to, respect that. You have to respect the
I
fact
respect
that
what?
It, you know what? My sister has cancer, right? So I'm a big cancer advocate because my sister has cancer. if she didn't have cancer, I wouldn't be a sister. I wouldn't be a cancer advocate. I would not be that person. If it doesn't affect you, you generally don't fuck with it. So for NFL owners, for you to say, I'm going to fuck with A, the backbone of America, which is capitalism, and B, my personal experience, and I'm just going to ignore, as a citizen.
No, I got you. Chris.
Yeah, and that's my thing. You're ignoring the fact these motherfuckers have never dealt with this shit. I'm not saying they're oblivious to it.
You're asking privileged people who have never walked the
first step. Exactly.
So here's the thing that they did. They made this policy in reaction to the pressure that was coming down from them from above, from
Washington, they also D.C. just made a fine. They did not make it a massive offense. Like, they didn't say, if he didn't come out, you couldn't play. What they said was, you got to pay some money.
Yeah, but that's some bullshit. They even made it fine.
There's two levels of that, though. They made this policy so they could appease the pressure that was coming down from them from D.C. And there's nothing new for a sports league to do what they have to do to be in the good graces of Washington, D.C. So you do all of this to basically take it back to Trump and say, look, listen, we did something. We did it. What does Trump say in response to that, though? I'm going to quote him here. So make sure that these absolutely are not my words. And quoting Donald Trump, I think that's good. I don't think people should be staying in locker rooms, but still, I think it's good. You have to stand proudly for the national anthem or you shouldn't be playing. You shouldn't be there. Maybe you shouldn't be in the country.
Yep.
You have to stand proudly for the national anthem, and the NFL owners did the right thing, if that's what they've done. So basically what you've done is he's went back and said, all right, as long as that's what they actually are doing, that's fine, but your rule don't really mean shit because you still didn't force them to do your bidding. Because that's what he's all about. He's about forcing people to do their bidding. So but here's the thing. You've had all of these things happen. You fought against the middle here, but where are you at now? Now all you've done is polarize your base to continue to do that. And there's never been a point in American history where forcing somebody to give up their constitutional rights to abide by a law that you put in front of them has ever worked out well. This whole thing is based in rebellion. The entire thing is based in being able to fight for your rights to be seen and observed. So how do you think that doing something like this is going to make a better outcome?
Yeah, it was a bad
play. It's idiotic.
It was a bad play by the NFL, and it's one of those things where you are, at some point, you have to have some humanitarian thing in you that says, you know what, this is bigger than my bottom line, and I understand that. I wanted each individual owner to be able to make that decision, and I feel like when the NFL introduces something that says that the owners have to abide by it, that's when I have a problem with the NFL. Last year, I had a problem with the NFL. I had a problem with teams. Again, because there are particular teams that didn't need Kaepernick. So why the fuck am I boycotting them? Why am I boycotting the Patriots? They don't need fucking Kaepernick. Why the fuck am I boycotting? I mean, I would like to boycott them because Robert Kraft and fucking Tom Brady are Donald Trump supporters. And I fucking hate Donald Trump. But he loves me Mill, though. Which is a whole other fucking topic. Yeah. I don't understand that shit. But generally, I don't want to boycott teams when they have an individual right to make a decision for their employees. But when you are as the NFL, when you're telling the NFL teams how to operate, now I have an issue with it because now the NFL as a league is saying something, and that's a problem.
Well, and the second layer of that is that's inconsistency in policing too. Number one, it comes out today that it actually never went to a formal vote. It went to an opinion poll where they said, we talked to most of the owners and this is how we thought they would feel.
I told you about how Oakland was.
But at the same time, though, in no other instance has the seat of the commissioner been able to force a decision on his employers who are the owners.
Right.
So this is out of sorts. This is out of whack. So what you're doing, there's no precedence for this course of action. So what it tells me is that that's a representative way of just showcasing what systematic oppression is. Anybody that doesn't believe in systematic oppression needs to look at this shit and realize that you're just being biased against your opinion because it fits your agenda.
But see, my thing is, I've realized that people ain't gonna if they don't want to believe in systematic oppression, they're never gonna believe in it.
Right.
At this point. At this point, they're never gonna believe in it.
Those are the same people that say that global warming isn't happening, the world's flat, and that everybody should stand for the flag. Because, first of all, why the fuck are we playing the national anthem at any sporting event in the first place?
They didn't start playing until 2003 or 2004, before the games. They never played it before the games.
And the whole NBA argument is a red herring because it's like, well, The NBA has the same rule that you have to stand up for. You have to stand up and be unified, whatever, for the national anthem, which is true. Except for the NBA, because the players don't have helmets, because there's only five starters on the team, and because there's a star vacuum for the people in the NBA. The NBA has so much power. The NBA players have so much power. The NBA works with them. So while LeBron James may have to stand up for the national anthem, he also can go to his press conference and say, fuck America.
He can have an hour press conference.
Right. And the NFL players don't have that right. And so it's like, if you shouldn't have an excuse for your bullshit. If your bullshit is, you know, the NBA does it too, that's not an excuse. Like, the NBA and the NFL are not parallel, and nor they're not analogous to one another. And so for me, it's just, listen, when the NFL as an organization, as a unifying body, says this is how we want to address something, now it becomes an issue. Now it's like, all right, dude, I could have, because the 49ers were like, I don't give a fuck if our players kneel.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck.
Kaepernick kneeled. No one was tripping. Kaepernick's problem with the 49ers was that he was throwing interceptions, and Blaine Gabbert was beating him in fucking practice. It wasn't because you were kneeling. Like, that's not the issue. You know, so for me, it's just, I think that this move fucked them in a way that they probably did not expect. You know, and it's sad because the only way it's going to be resolved in the NFL, if you want to look at that from a micro level, because society is way bigger, on a micro level, the only way that's going to be resolved is if you boycott a specific team or if the players boycott. And the only way the players are going to boycott is if, like, society helps them augment their income. Because why the fuck, if I worked my whole life to get to the NFL and I'm, like, a minimal player, why the fuck would I turn away my salary? Motherfucker, I got a kid. I have a house.
And I got a mama. And I got four concussions coming into the league.
The only thing that will fuck up their money, though, is the cats that got bulletproof wallets, so it's making X amount
but
of
they
money.
Have to, but they have to agree. The bulletproof wallets have to agree to fucking help support everybody the motherfuckers.
No, I'm saying the bulletproof wallets don't come on. It's almost like you can't be saying, like, oh, I'm going to support the fifth string fucking wide receiver. If the bulletproof wallets dudes is like, I'm out.
But Darryl,
it's the same thing as being having a whole bunch of white
it's
people.
It's got to be widespread, man.
Here's the thing. And sometimes, I mean, we I understand it, but we do treat each other as though we're monolithic
society. No, yeah, we're not monolithic. We don't have the same ideas.
We don't have the same ideas. And motherfuckers are not going to fall on that sword, man. They're like, fuck.
I got money, I got my mama crib to pay for, I got my daddy truck,
they not gonna fall on that fucking sword.
So, gentlemen, we have this whole conversation about this because of Kaepernick taking a knee.
Mm-hmm.
Well, are you forgetting the purpose, the reason why he took a knee?
Of course. It's been lost.
He took a knee, that has been
And that's been the most effective thing of what they've done is bury the cause.
They buried the cause. So let's get to the root cause and how can we address that. First, before we get into what we're gonna do next, is the NFL decides to say we're gonna charge a fine.
Well, another thing that gets buried, another massive lead that gets buried in this is that halfway. This is why I say the stages of this shit is you get to last year and they're talking about, all right, great, we're gonna bring people to the table and talk about these causes. Man, that shit lasted like half a day.
Yeah.
And it fell clean the fuck off. And everybody that is so busy being like, fuck the NFL, there's a cause for you to get behind. Say, all right, NFL, you said you were going to support this, and now you didn't do it. Uh-huh. But so many people are so busy being like, yo, fuck the NFL, that you didn't even realize there's an opening for you right there to start to raise a whole new argument against the league. You know why? Because you weren't fucking looking. You weren't paying attention. You cannot, I understand that saying, hey, I'm upset, I'm not going to support this, that's fine. You don't have to financially support it. You turning on your TV or not don't change it. But you know what? You being aware of what's going on does. And that's lazy-ass activism, and that's why I'm not buying into it, because there's no collective goal about what the outcome is.
True.
I'm going to take a break to tell you that Gherkin Cigars are the best cigars under $25.
Hey, pause that. We don't do free advertising.
I mean, I'm sure it'd be edited out. I'm just telling you that I'm just like, I love these cigars.
We don't talk about anything by name on this program.
But I love them.
I understand.
And they're delicious.
We could stop the show.
I mean, he'll edit it. I mean, whatever.
Don't make it work any harder than he wants to. That's really hard to find a timestamp in a show.
But nah, the flips. Listen, man. Like for me, in conclusion, is listen. If you're gonna boycott the NFL, have a point to it.
Yep.
If you're just gonna say I'm boycotting the NFL, then you're a fuckboy who's not doing shit, because that shit is not gonna affect. If they lose 7% of their bottom line, they're not. The owners are not gonna be hurting. So they. But if you make it uncomfortable for people to go to. Again, I'm not shitting on the Cowboys unless your team. I'm saying if you make it uncomfortable for fans to go into Cowboys games,
so saying,
and you don't buy the
merchandise.
You're saying
this should be a direct campaign against certain teams that have.
There has to be no a certain team. The only way.
Oh, you saying directly?
Listen, it's a fraternity. If you the NFL owners are a fraternity, if you fuck a certain team over, then. The other teams have to hear that because they know it's possible for them to get.
Hey, if you really want
to
be about that,
Jerry got fucking Rams up out of St. Louis.
Hey,
so
if you really
want to
be,
we need to talk.
If
we
you
need
really
want to
be,
fucking Cowboys,
if you
so.
Really want to be about that action right now, if you really about it, instead of going to work tomorrow, take your ass out there to LA and stop them from building that stadium out there. Go out there and set up and go out there and set up a barricade to them building that stadium out there. You know what I'm saying? If you really want to be about that action. Don't fucking keep the Buffalo Bills from playing football, because that ain't going to change shit. Don't go out and pester the motherfucking Cincinnati Bengals. Take that shit out to the Meadowlands. Take that shit out to Dallas. Take that shit out to where people going to notice it. Because otherwise, yeah. You're not doing anything. And yeah. You know what? And all you sideline motherfuckers that wasn't watching football any Sundays anyway.
Right.
And all you motherfuckers that didn't care in the first place, shut the fuck up. Because you ain't changing the bottom line. All you doing is fishing for likes on fucking Facebook. And you people, in general, whether it's just fishing for likes about the NFL or put up a bunch of pictures of your fucking kids, y'all motherfuckers annoy me because all you trying to do is fish for likes.
You know I hate social media.
So. I know. We need you at the forefront of this shit.
Yeah, I fucking hate social
media. We need you as our leader.
It's a complex motherfucking situation, man. There's no way around that shit. I ain't got all the answers, but I do agree with Matt. That's why I didn't jump on that shit last year. I just felt like it was just
let it play
a whole
out.
Bunch of bandwagon jumpers, man. And, you know, all motherfuckers just I boycott.
Oh, you doing your job, black man.
Yeah.
You doing your job, black man.
I don't,
also at the same time,
I don't need nobody's approval to let me know how fucking black I am.
And you know what? At the exact same time too, while we boycott that league, we also boycott a lot of brothers making a living that they need to make too.
And you also are not boycotting everything that you do in society. That's fucking also keeping. If you want to be the equivalent of keeping black men down and fucking. I mean, there's like so many other venues and avenues that serve oppression that let's not
fight the fucking pay disparity.
Yeah.
Fight to bring everybody up to the middle. Don't just use the NFL as a fucking springboard like you goddamn Luke Skywalker in fucking Return of the Jedi.
But,
assholes.
But do understand that when the NFL has a widespread cultural warfare, because that's what they're doing, now it becomes a problem. But understand the nuance and the significance between owners doing some shit and the NFL as a fucking company doing it. Like, that's completely fucking different. And, like, for somebody to say, well, I don't understand the difference, well, fucking you're an idiot. Like, you're talking about, if I own my law firm, right?
Congratulations.
If I have a fucking employee that says they want to do XYZ, I'm going to be like, hey, look, motherfucker, I don't agree with that shit. Fuck off, you're fired. And I have a right to do that because this is society and it's my firm.
Depends on your state, though, too.
Well, no, in my state, Missouri.
But I'm saying, you can get some other states, though, you're going to have to go on.
Well, I'm talking about shit. Here. Here, I can tell you to fuck off. And fuck off means that you have
now,
no recourse.
Now, that goes to a legal thing. With those states that players are in, that they can't just do that, where they have, what's it called, right to law, or what is it called? Right to work, or whatever it is. Those states that don't have that, Will that be an issue within those states, though, legally?
I don't know, because I feel like in no state is your First Amendment right protected in a private company.
It's not.
There's no state like that. It's not. So, like, that whole, and I hate when I hear, it's a very fucking elementary argument to say you're usurping their freedom of speech. Nigga, no, you're not. You're not usurping, there's no freedom of speech.
No, there is no freedom. That's the misconception. There is no freedom. You're going to pay a price. Whatever you say, controversial, you're going to pay a fucking price. So I guess he did the math before he started doing the shit, but I hope he knew that it ain't no fucking freedom of speech. You gonna pay a fucking price. Yeah. And it's a choice as to whether you are willing to pay that fucking price. Because there is no freedom of speech. That's a fucking misconception.
That's real shit. Yeah. That's real shit.
You know, for real.
There's no free thought either. Shout out to Kanye West. You know what I'm saying? Free thought.
I mean, I don't like what Kanye West is doing, but I support his ability to be able to support whoever he wants to support. I want to make that clear for this microphone.
Really? Do you really?
No, I support him. I mean, I don't want to get into that, but I think he's going through a mental breakdown, but I support his ability to be able to support the president and support whatever free thought that he has.
I think it's a battle against Jay-Z. That's a whole other thing.
Oh, that's another thing. So,
yeah, I appreciate that. Thank y'all for listening.
Hey, this is behind the paywall, too. We're dropping this one. When y'all support black business, y'all get this podcast.
Y'all support black business.
So actually, if you're hearing this abridged you version of the scenario, business. You've already supported black business.
This could be an independent episode.
This is the beginning of your paywall experience.
Welcome. God bless y'all.
Thank y'all for listening. Peace.